How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next 2 hours talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, joined as we are every week by Mike Sempervivi of the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare up at WrestlingObserver.com. We have so much news to talk about today. It's going to be a packed 2 hours, pro wrestling and mixed martial arts news. Over the Limit is today, the WWE Over the Limit pay-per-view. We're going to be talking about that show. I have a strange feeling this show is going to do all right. I don't think it's going to do great, but I think it's going to do all right. Headlined by John Cena versus, of all people, John Laurinaitis, Big Johnny, with John Laurinaitis' career in WWE as GM of both Raw and SmackDown on the line in this match. No WWE superstars are allowed to run in or they will be fired. We're going to talk about that lineup here in just a moment. All the matches one by one and a couple of potential spoilers, which in 2012 in WWE, there's no such thing as potential spoilers because they change things on the fly. And we're going to talk about that phenomenon as well because we haven't been seeing that in TNA, and it's led to TNA, amazingly, being a significantly more intriguing show at this point. We're going to talk about that. Plus, last night, after more than a year, the Strikeforce World Grand Prix Tournament wrapped up. We have a winner, and his name is Daniel Cormier, beating Josh Barnett in the finals. How did Cormier do? What is his future? What's the future of the entire heavyweight division in UFC? What is the future of Josh Barnett, who has not always been on the best of terms with UFC and Dana White? We're going to talk about that show, plus a bunch of big news, including Raw moving permanently, they say, to 3 hours. Yes, every Monday, 3 hours, starting this summer. Also, at the end of this month, TNA is going to be moving to a live format every Thursday night, which is a good move, which is a bad move, which is a move that doesn't really make much of a difference. We'll talk about that here as well. Plus, a bunch of news on all of the television and everything else. Back in just a moment to kick it off. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Here for the next 2 hours, talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts every Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide upon the old internet at WrestlingObserver.com. We're here talking the WWE Over the Limit pay-per-view. And, Mike, I have been alerted that some of your buddies, including Les Thatcher, and I know my buddy Lance Storm, not at all enamored with the Big Show segment on Raw Monday, which is leading conceivably and presumably to the main event of Over the Limit here tonight. They really hated that segment and took me to task for not thinking it was the worst thing of all time. Explain.
They think you're both crazy, and I tried to defend you guys in all of this by saying
crazy.
all of that stuff that happened last week just broke your brain down enough to Diaz no show and everything else that had happened over the weekend, where by the time you got to Monday you were just so broken down it was like, oh, okay, this isn't that bad. And in a way, it wasn't that bad. I'm not going to agree full bore with them because the performance that Big Show put on, I thought, was great in a lot of ways. With that said, I do agree with them that it took forever. It's not going to sell any type of buy for anything. Do you have the faith in them to continue on with maybe an indentured servitude thing with Big Show popping back up? Obviously, nobody can interfere except for somebody who's not on the roster, which leaves everyone to believe Big Show and Brock Lesnar. But if you watch SmackDown, you got to figure that it's going to be the Big Show. And you take all those things in, it took too long. I mean, Laurinaitis was good. Big Show was good. It also took forever. I didn't think it was anywhere near as good or entertaining as you guys did. And I thought it actually helped to kill the crowd as it went on that night because it did take so damn long. And again, they were not enamored with it at all, and I wasn't much either. The performances of the two were great, but you could have chopped that down and not made it so ridiculously over the top. I know that sometimes they hit home runs with the campy stuff. They do. Vince McMahon's teddy bear and lots of things like that that, you know, the melodramatic, over-the-top stuff that WWE does sometimes, you know, actually works and you can run with it. I just don't think this is going to be one of those things.
Now, some people would use the rating to justify it being a good thing, but I'm actually not going to do that. I will point out that the segment added over 1 million viewers. But, as we've seen 1 million times, a train wreck segment is going to add 1 million viewers. Doesn't necessarily mean it's any good or it compels anybody to do anything, but I have two things to say in my own defense. First off, as I noted to Lance, if what they end up doing sucks, I will be the first guy to come out here and tell you how much the follow-up sucks. But I can't bring myself to completely bury an angle until it plays out. And I know I've said 1 million times that whenever people say, let's wait and see, 95% of the time they're disappointed. So there's a good chance I'm going to be disappointed. However, usually when people say wait and see, it's in reference to a storyline that is set to play out over a number of months. For example, you know, when Brock Lesnar lost to John Cena, people were like, well, let's wait and see what they do leading into SummerSlam. And I was like, really? You want to wait and see what they're going to do over a four-month storyline? Good luck with that. But this is a storyline that it started on Monday, and conceivably the payoff is going to be today. So I do still hold out faith that they're going to pull the trigger on this Big Show heel turn storyline, and it's going to play out today at the show. And listen, as even the people that didn't like the segment, I think will agree, Big Show did a great job. Big Show is really good at playing the role of the big, sad giant and the big, angry, mean giant. And I have faith that if they do the heel turn, Big Show can make this work. And again, maybe I'm wrong. And the other defense I will say is that I think everybody has to remember, including myself, that this show is not written for you and me and Les and Lance and probably anybody listening to this program right now. This show is written for the masses who appear to be into much different things than we are. A good example would be when John Cena came out at the end of the show and he was playing the role of a five-year-old. I wanted to shoot holes in my television. However, the crowd was going nuts for this guy. They were going nuts for this dingbat. And when he threw the hockey puck down and told John Laurinaitis to go puck yourself, I thought, this is the lamest thing I've ever seen. But the crowd went crazy for it. And the same thing with the Big Show segment. When the Big Show was being commanded to get down on his knees, and you and me and Dave and Les and Lance were all thinking, my God, this is taking forever. Meanwhile, the fans were screeching at Big Show not to get down on his knee, which he ultimately did. So I don't think it's fair to just say this is not going to add a single buy. Because we have to remember, the idea behind the segment was to build a tremendous amount of heat behind the John Laurinaitis character to convince people to pay money today to see John Cena kick this guy's butt and send him out of WWE. And I don't know if that's going to be effective. We're not going to know for about 3 months. But if in 3 months the buy rate for this show is above average for a B show, then I think that in some ways you can attribute that to the Big Show angle with John Laurinaitis here. Because again, they're attempting to book for the masses, which after many years I've determined is not us.
No, and that's what obviously angers Lance and Les the most, is because they are putting their combined, God knows what, 75, 80 years into the business and thinking about this and trying to think about it linear and think about what it probably should be, and it's not. Now, I'll say this, in 3 months when that number comes out, I'll give you a mea culpa if it's up significantly. I think it's going to be up a little bit, but I don't think it's going to be up where you really notice it that much. And look at the ratings dropping. I mean, that's got a lot to do with, I mean, the hardcore fans are going to watch. They're always going to have a base rating of whatever it is. They could evaporate a lot, but we're all going to watch, no matter how much we may bitch or moan about it. We're going to end up watching. They've lost significant support over, you know, the past couple of months with storylines and everything else with the casual fan who's been able to punch holes through things like the goofy Triple H, John Laurinaitis storyline and everything else that's happened. You know, it's, I don't think, I think you're, they don't have anywhere near the faith that you may think they do as far as the casual fan and who they're writing to. Yes, they are writing to that fan, but it's obvious that they're really not hooking them in. I may be wrong in this, but I don't see where. Where is their support with the average fan? You know, or the TV watcher. Yes, it did add a million views, but, you know, or a million viewers when that was on, but how is that going to translate into pay-per-view? It hasn't been, so why really would now be any different? I mean, look at what they've had. Again, Chris Jericho, Mick Foley, The Undertaker, Triple H, The Rock, Brock Lesnar, and the thing hovers around a 3.1 constantly. They're obviously they have to do something to try to reach out mass appeal and to the average viewer in the USA, you know, average quote-unquote viewer that they want. But with that said, they haven't been doing it, and I guess I'm just not sold that Monday night was a way for them to do it, too, because you said, too, as great as that Big Show thing was, then it ends with Cena being a complete and utter goof, and they had a chance on a silver platter to kind of rebuild Cena, and obviously the Tenzai fail had a little bit to do with this, too, but instead they're continuing on with him as the goofy cartoon character, and again, yeah, the people there loved it, but I don't think it was working all that well because obviously Michael Cole, oh, yeah, that was funny, yuck, yuck, yuck. They made sure to drive that home for the people watching it at home who may be turning their sets or maybe sitting there groaning like the rest of us did.
Well, I mean, that segment also saw a huge upsurge in viewers. And listen, I am sick of John Cena as much as the next guy. I am sick of this guy. And that segment drove me nuts. With that said, John Cena is still by far their biggest merchandise seller. He's by far their, with the exception of like A Rock, for example, he's the guy that moves the numbers more than anyone else. So whenever I hear people trying to explain to me that nobody's into John Cena, nobody cares about John Cena, blah, 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 it's like, no, actually they do. And it's a different audience. It is a different audience than you and I. But we'll talk more about this after the break. We got to talk about the main event. It is John Cena versus John Laurinaitis. Yes, Johnny Ace in a wrestling match in the main event. After the break, we'll get into that. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here for the next hour and a half, talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts every Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide, universe-wide, on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. And Mike, the main event of Over the Limit is, in fact, everybody's favorite wrestler, John Cena, against everyone's most hated GM, John Laurinaitis. And Johnny Ace, putting the trunks back on, not only getting in the ring for this match, but, spoiler alert here, perhaps, there's no such thing as spoilers anymore, so I don't even care, because they may change their mind tonight. John Laurinaitis is scheduled to team with Lord Tensai to take on John Cena at a bunch of future house shows. I would not be surprised at all if that got changed to John Laurinaitis and The Big Show against John Cena at a bunch of upcoming house shows. The idea when Lord Tensai was signed around WrestleMania weekend was that Lord Tensai was going to come in and be John Laurinaitis' henchman, and they were going to feud with John Cena. And Lord Tensai ended up not getting over. They made the deal with Brock. They got their Brock Cena match out of the way. And now, with Lord Tensai working superstars, my guess is they changed their minds and it's going to be The Big Show and Laurinaitis against John Cena on the road. Which also, by the way, whether it's Lord Tensai or The Big Show, John Laurinaitis wrestling on the road means John Laurinaitis is not winning here tonight. And you know how those things go. But that seems to be where they're heading. And based on upcoming lineups, it appears that the idea, as of today, is to do John Cena versus John Laurinaitis in perhaps a cage match at No Way Out. They've already started teasing that for that show I think they're just, they didn't mention a cage, but they said, at no way out, there will be no way out for John Laurinaitis. And then presumably after that, it would be either the handicap match or Cena versus The Big Show at the July pay-per-view. And anyway, the main event tonight, Cena and Laurinaitis. I'm predicting that Laurinaitis wins. I am predicting that they pull the trigger and turn The Big Show. And I guess we shall see what they do.
Yeah, unless there's some sort of wacky swerve. I agree with that, too. Back to one thing. You know, I've always been in your camp as far as, you know, the people, well, John Cena's got to turn heel. No, he doesn't. Never has to turn heel. You saw the Make-A-Wish stuff. I mean, forget, throw out the divorce thing or whatever that's about. But just you know, purely on the Make-A-Wish stuff and the merchandise he sells and the kids love him and chicks still love him, you know, obviously all the dudes don't, but you can't do that. You can't take him off TV. And look, they've proved they'll never take him off TV for longer than 30 seconds. So that's not going to happen either. But I thought they had a chance on a silver platter, too. You have guys like Tensai and Laurinaitis and whoever. I mean, you have guys that, you know, Cena will get cheered against. And you can just, he doesn't have to be a dumbass to get cheered. And you're not going to be able to get, they always want, this is where they're idiots, too. They want everyone to love Cena. They want this, you know, they want a 50-50 with The Rock. You know, they want people to love Cena, but give them a reason, the ones who are booing him, to actually like him. Because odds are, those were all the same people who cheered him when he was doing the whole chain gang gimmick and he was the rapper, which turned him into this. So, you know, there's a way for him to still be PG and not be a dumbass. We've gone over this a million times. And there was another great example of that on Monday. I mean, he's going to get booed against Laurinaitis. Did CM Punk have to go out there on SmackDown and act like a complete goon? No. And again, yes, it worked for some of the live crowd. It works for the kids. That is good. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but it's so over the top. That's why people regurgitate on him, and they can't have it both ways. Now, that was a whole long rant, but at the end of the day, when it comes to this match tonight, I agree with you. Unless there's some sort of swerve where it is a Lesnar or something like that coming back because Laurinaitis was the guy who signed him to that deal or something like that. I cannot see any other way besides, you know, him winning this match tonight with the Big Show turning.
You know, I want to talk about swerves here. I want to talk about changes in booking. If you look at upcoming house show lineups, I always have to hear this, oh, Brian and Dave, they just claim they changed plans because it's not what they predicted. If you look at upcoming house show lineups and you follow WWE.com, there are a million examples of them going a direction in a storyline or them setting a series of matches and then switching it around. And often they will switch it around purely because somebody figured out what was going to happen. And I'll give you a great example, the Karma situation. When Karma was scheduled to come back and destroy the Bellas and win the women's title. And it was a one-year storyline. If you remember a year ago when Karma left because she became pregnant, the Bellas buried her on the way out. So the idea was when she came back, she was going to destroy the Bellas and win the title from them. It made sense. They planned it for a year. Everything was great. But when the word got out that Karma was coming back, they decided, well, word got out, so we've got to change it. And they had Layla come back and beat the Bellas, which made no sense, didn't get over at all, and now we're still waiting for Karma to return. And my question to you, Mike, is this. If you're going to change direction because everybody figured out what you were going to do, and a great example today would be the Big Show deal. You know, Tuesday afternoon after Raw, all everybody was talking about was, well, obviously the Big Show is going to help John Laurinaitis win. So, conceivably, they could change that storyline, and they'll have Lord Tensai, or I don't know who they'd have running because of the stipulations that they'd have to bring somebody in new, I guess. Maybe someone from FCW or whatever, which they could still do. But my question to you is this. Why wouldn't you just flip a coin in booking, in finishes, in angles, in whatever, to determine what happens? Why even book at all? Because to me, the idea behind booking is you're creating a story. And in doing so, you're creating a story that makes sense. So if you create a story that makes sense, you're going to have a certain number of people figuring out where it's going. And so, you know what I mean? Why even bother? Why even bother designing a storyline if the entire idea is for it to make sense, but when people figure it out, then that's bad? Does this make any sense, my argument?
Well, so you don't have enough faith. One reason could be you don't have enough faith in your story and you change it. I don't know. That Karma thing was weird. You know, she comes back at the Rumble, eliminates Cole, and they do that thing, and that was just weird anyway. But, you know, I do. You're right. I don't understand why. You know, it's across wrestling history. They've, you know, Bill Watts, when Jake Roberts was going to WWF, some reporter got wind of it, and probably from the Observer, and reported that, well, no, Jake's leaving, so he's going to drop the Mid-South TV title, and damn it, you know, just to prove you wrong, protect the business. This is how they change it. I don't get it. You know, I don't get it at all. I mean, you're supposed to. You don't let the fans and everybody dictate what exactly they want. You know, this we went on with this about Zack Ryder, with a lot of people couldn't figure out, you know, what it is with Zack Ryder. It's like, you know, he doesn't. You know, you can't give people everything that they want. Now you should give them some, but the whole thing, it's like a mini series, or not even mini series, but something like Law and Order would be a great example. Yeah, every time, you know, sometimes you get the good guy gets the win, but other times it's like, no, damn it, they didn't, and you continue on to the next one, and you continue on to the next one. Well, that's what wrestling booking is supposed to be, is to leave you wanting a little bit more, and to give you your reward when it's time for it, but then to draw it out and to make you keep coming back and wanting more. But when it is time to give the people what they want, you have to give it to them. And that's where they've lost the plot, and that's where, you know, again, it's traditional wrestling, it's like a boxing match or an MMA fight. It's the same thing. All these it's just promoting. It's in how you do things. It's the same thing. The big payoff is going to be the war at the end, and you hope that, you know, the people take to it, or if it's an awesome fight or having an awesome match. But that's the stuff they've gotten away from, and it's the long term planning and long term thoughts and just changing things. It just does not do themselves any service whatsoever.
I just don't get why. I mean, just to take an example, let's say you're going to have John Cena and The Undertaker at a WrestleMania next year. And so as bookers, you book John Cena to go undefeated and you talk about it on the show every week. And you book Undertaker to go undefeated and you talk about it on the show every week. And then all of a sudden everybody figures out where you're going. So you decide, we'll put John Cena versus Tensai instead because people figured it out. It's like, well, why do you even book stories at all then? Why do you even write a storyline if you're writing a storyline to get to an end, and when people figure it out, because you wrote, I guess, a good storyline, people are going to figure out if it's good, where you're trying to go, you just change it. I don't understand the mentality of having to change anything because people figure out where you're going. If they figure out where you're going, to me, you're doing it right. Am I wrong?
No, not at all. Not in the wrestling part. It's like if they would have, and they had to happen in some of the worst stuff in like WCW against WWE, but everybody knew Jericho was debuting on Raw. Everybody knew Jericho was debuting on Raw. And they didn't change anything. All they did was they had him debut, and they made it a forceful debut, and they had him with The Rock. And
actually,
changed it.
Let me jump in, because it's funny you should mention that. A few years ago, at Night of Champions, everybody knew that Jericho was going to debut on that show, and they were so excited for it. And
yep.
Conceivably, people actually bought the pay-per-view expecting him to debut and win the championship. And because everybody figured that out, they held him off the show and they debuted him later, which got significantly less reaction than if they debuted him on the show where everybody figured he was going to debut. So again, I ask, if you are going to switch your direction when people figure it out due to your logical storytelling, why don't you just flip a coin? Why don't you just flip a coin for all the winners and losers? Why don't you just flip a coin for all of your angles? Write down 10 angles and throw them into a hat and just pull one out. Why don't you do that for everything? Because then you guarantee that nobody figures anything out.
Well, the reason why is because if you do a 50-50 split, you can't bury Cody Rhodes 99% of the time.
That's true. And I figured out where they're going with Cody Rhodes, so should I even mention it? Cody's on this losing streak so he can win and unify the titles.
Sinbad is celebrating.
So once they figure that out, they'll put the belt on Santino. Back in just a moment, Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on a very passionate edition of Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here for the next hour and a half, talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. For the latest news and info in pro wrestling and MMA, you can always head to WrestlingObserver.com. Daily news updates, reviews of all of the shows. In fact, tonight, moments after the show goes off the air, Dave Meltzer is going to be doing live running play-by-play of the Over the Limit pay-per-view. So if you get the show, you can follow along with him. If you don't get the show, you can head up there and get the results as they happen. Later on tonight, we got a brand new radio show only for subscribers up at WrestlingObserver.com. We've got three shows in 3 days. We did one last night. We're doing one tonight. We're doing one tomorrow after Raw. We do shows every single day on the website, sometimes multiple shows per day. In fact, this past Thursday, I did do four shows. Four shows in one day. And as a subscriber, for just $10.99 a month, not only to get every single one of these brand new shows, but every show that we've ever done is available in the archives. Meaning for $10.99, you get every show we have ever done, which comes out to significantly less than one penny per show. So if you love the audio, if you love this show and you only hear it one time per week, you are missing out. You can listen to Wrestling Observer Radio every single day as a subscriber to WrestlingObserver.com. It's only $10.99 a month. Sign up for a month. If you don't like it, you never have to sign up again. And in that month, you can download so many shows, you won't even know what to do with them. But I guarantee, in fact, that if you sign up as a fan of this show, you will not regret it. It will be the best purchasing decision of your life. So check it out, WrestlingObserver.com. You can scroll down the right-hand side of the front page. Listing of our latest four free radio shows. Check them out. Download them, listen to them, and if you like what you hear, just think, tens of thousands of hours of audio for just $10.99 a month. So head up there and check that out, WrestlingObserver.com. Check me out as well, at Brian Alvarez on Twitter. I broke the 7,000 mark a couple of days ago. That's at Brian Alvarez. I'm now shooting for 10 grand. And the followers. What do you think about that, Mike?
I think I'm really upset with you not helping me out at Sempervivi. That's S-E-M-P-E-R-V-I-V-E, at Sempervivi. And you don't even follow me, man. No retweets, nothing. You're just holding me down, the glass ceiling of the empire on Twitter, and you're doing it, you and Todd Martin.
I probably should follow more people, but my cell phone just goes out of control with all of these tweets that I get throughout the day. And text messages and stuff. I would like to announce that I'm very proud to know that I, in fact, have more followers than Heidi Andral of Strikeforce.
Oh, my Lord.
Who last night in an interview segment asked the challenger if he had been ducking the champion. I'm not making this up. So please follow me on Twitter so that I can keep my lead over Heidi Andral. Because when the day comes that she has more followers than me, I just don't know what I'm going to do. Anyway, let's talk about some things of actual importance in the world, that being the Over the Limit pay-per-view here tonight. John Cena, John Laurinaitis, we talked about that for 12 minutes, I believe, in the last segment. So let's move on with our lives. Daniel Bryan and CM Punk for the WWE title should be awesome.
Should be awesome. Leave them alone. Now, obviously, they're going to have to put some sports entertainment spin on this. We've got AJ now being pushed away by CM Punk, probably further descending her right into madness there. But look, obviously, even if there's going to be something stupid at the end, you know it's going to be a good match. I mean, I just, you know, they're not going to have that, who is it, Eddie Guerrero and Benoit at the ECW pay-per-view where it's just like, it would take that type of epic falling apart where just it's not going to be their day for this probably not to be the show stealer of the night. And even if they're going to have a goofy ending to it, which they could conceivably do, again, are there really any losers in this if Daniel Bryan comes out as heavyweight champion? I think it'll be Punk, but it's, again, not going to hurt my feelings if it's Daniel Bryan, especially if there's interference from AJ.
I don't know if we're going to get interference tonight. I'm not sure.
They certainly don't need to.
I know at some point we're going to get it, and actually tonight would be a good night, and I think also that the sports entertainment, at least some of it, is just going to be CM Punk selling a rib injury, which... A couple of days ago, I thought, so Daniel Bryan's main finish is a shoulder hold, yet they've injured CM Punk's ribs. But then I was like, Daniel Bryan's going to make this match work. Doesn't matter if his I was going to say body part that I better not say, but I don't care if any body part is injured. Daniel Bryan's going to make it work into the course of this match. So it might even be better because it's something different. We'll see a different kind of match because he's working over the abdomen as opposed to the shoulder. So I expect it to be great. I was talking to somebody in WWE a couple of days ago that said the build-up for the show has kind of sucked. The main angle with the Big Show, a lot of people thought it sucked. But this person believes that this could be a pay-per-view that people look back on and go, man, I wish I would have bought that pay-per-view. Expecting good things out of it. So I think this will be one of those good things, of course. We also got the four-way for the world title, which also should be good. Sheamus, Alberto Del Rio, Chris Jericho, and Randy Orton for the title. What is your prediction, Mike?
My prediction is probably no one will remember this match. Which there was one of the other problems
really?
I had with Monday is stop somebody ice cold on the street that's a wrestling fan, your average wrestling fan, and go, you know, what else is on the show? You know, outside of Cena and Lauren Ice, what else is on the show? And do you think they spit anything out quick without stuttering for a little bit? I mean, I know they haven't done an awful job with this, but it's just, it's been so, to me, so fragmented because it's been about Orton and Sheamus. And it just, I don't know. I would like to see Alberto Del Rio, which, by the way, wasn't he supposed to have some sort of announcement or something on Friday? Did I miss that on SmackDown?
I don't remember that he was going to make an announcement.
I thought that was the deal on Raw, was he was going to be on SmackDown because he wasn't there, and he was going to make some sort of announcement, and that just seemed to disappear into thin air. You know, it's possible he does win because he has not been around, and we've gotten, you know, Orton and Sheamus, and they focus so heavily on that, and obviously Jericho. I can't see it being him, but I don't know. I probably, to me, I wouldn't take the title off Sheamus. He's at least a character that's, you know, it has not suffered badly. He gets a reaction when he comes out. He's very confident in his role. I think he comes across well. He looks different, which is, you know, and again, I obviously we all say this who follow this stuff that, you know, guys need to look different. I mean, when we were growing up in the 80s, we had a mass amount of characters and everybody had their thing. And I think on a, you know, a level that they're not paying attention to, the average wrestling fan gets that too when it comes to Sheamus. So I wouldn't take the title off of him because why? You know, Randy Orton doesn't need it. Chris Jericho doesn't need it. And if you're not going to do something with Alberto Del Rio, who I think, you know, should be positioned in becoming their new cool heel, because obviously it's not going to be Dolph Ziggler or anything else, and they need a, you know, a cool heel that is huge and then can turn into a huge baby face. If you're going to put it on somebody, make it Alberto Del Rio, but I'd rather see him win the title when it actually means something. So all that said, I'll actually go with keeping the title on Sheamus.
I will agree with that. I guess at first when I read the spoilers, I thought they were going to put on Randy Orton after he lost clean to Sheamus on SmackDown, but then he did lay him out and stood tall at the end of the show, so now I presume he's not winning. Alberto Del Rio's possibility, Jericho doubtful. I think if Jericho were going to stick around, they were going to put the title on him, he would have beaten CM Punk, but he didn't. So it is interesting that Jericho was feuding with Punk, and now he's in the SmackDown title match, as opposed to the Raw title match, and Daniel Bryan was feuding with Sheamus for the title, and now he's in the Raw title match. They pretty much abolished the brand extension, let's be honest. And it's looking like, and I'll say it again, plans change, but it's looking like at this point, no draft. The draft had been scheduled for the last three-hour Raw, and then they dropped it. Pretty much figured no point, everyone's on every show, and they tentatively scheduled it for early June, and been no word since, so I'm presuming they just dropped the draft and they're just going to have everybody work every show. It's an unofficial ending of the brand split, but...
Is Night of Champions on the pay-per-view roster for this summer?
Let me see. No Way Out is next. That's followed by Money in the Bank, which... is followed by SummerSlam. So if I don't know if there's a Night of Champions this year, in fact.
Well, I guess you could do it on Raw, I mean, but for what the titles mean anyway. I was, you know, in thinking, you got what would be some of the great ways you could use Brock Lesnar? Well, one thing was, you know, blowing through the roster leading into next year's WrestleMania, and he was the only guy that held, or at least for any significant time, in fact, he was the only one who did it, held that undisputed title, I think. I think he was the only guy, or Jericho won it, and then it went on to Lesnar. But that big black belt that they haven't broken back out, I thought that was going to be something that he could do along the way, because there is no reason to have a draft. There is no reason right now with the amount of shows that they want to run and the lack of eyeballs that are on it. I'm sorry, just much like a petite Syrah grape. Concentrate your juice. And merge these titles that don't mean anything anyway. And like you said about Cody Rhodes, it would make the most sense. I mean, if they're not going to do it with the big titles, and I guess I could understand why with having a Raw and a SmackDown title, but all of these other ones need to go away quickly.
Did you just make a comparison to orange juice?
No, actually with a Petite Syrah, which is a type of wine.
I see. I should have known this would be a liquor analogy.
It's a Syrah grape, which is big and a little bit looser, but you know, if you can actually starve a grape, where it's actually, you know, struggling to get water, and it just gets, you know, deep and concentrated and usually a higher alcohol content.
We have got Layla and Beth Phoenix.
That would be a good match to drink, too. I'll assume Beth Phoenix wins, which, by the way, I guess Beth Phoenix is actually, now she's a heel again. I don't know.
Is she?
I guess. I think so. Layla's got to be Layla's the good girl in all this. She ran in to beat her up, so I feel for Beth Phoenix.
I don't know if Layla's going to be a babyface for long.
Well, if that won't actually be bad either. I mean, if Beth Phoenix is the face, the only thing there is karma and Beth Phoenix. I mean, that's the only thing you got. And for what I don't know exactly what's going on with karma or anything like that, but at some point we've got to get to Beth Phoenix and karma. That will at least be the one thing in the women's division I would not mind seeing whatsoever.
Maybe they'll do the deal tonight where Beth is injured backstage and Karma comes out and destroys Layla and wins the title, and they're back to where they were before they decided not to do what they did.
It's possible. I'll say this, Layla looks good. Very good looking.
I think I screwed up my entire trying to think back to what I just said. It didn't make any sense, but I think everybody knows what I mean. All right, we've also got Kofi Kingston and R-Truth versus Ziggler and Swagger, which actually should be a pretty darn good match.
I hope so. Kingston and Ziggler have worked with each other forever, and Swagger's been in that mix too, R-Truth. You know, in a normal world, why would you pull the titles off Kingston and Truth so quick? But to be honest, I just want to see Dolph Ziggler and Jack Swagger be rewarded with something.
And I think that's all besides the, we've got the pre-show match, which is Ryder versus Kane. What a battle that's going to be on YouTube. And that's only a five-match show, so there's a decent shot that at some point, either later on this afternoon as we're doing this program, or maybe they'll add it during the show, maybe we'll get a Brodus Clay squash.
I think that's a pretty safe bet.
Because that's five, they got to put at least one more match on the show.
As long as it's not, you know,
or God forbid,
Damian Sandow and Catch-as-Catch-Can.
God forbid we get a long John Laurinaitis promo.
Well, we'll probably get that too, but, you know.
All right, everybody. That is the lineup. The show takes place immediately after we go off the air. And as noted, immediately after we go off the air, Dave Meltzer is going to be doing live running play-by-play on the front page of the website. All of the results of the show, so if you get it, follow along. If you don't get the show, you can just check out the results. And later on tonight, we're going to be doing a show recapping everything. So back in just a moment with more news, Wrestling Observer Live, here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here for the next hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. We were running down the over the limit. Didn't that used to be like a some sort of racing theme?
Over the limit?
Yeah, they had like a deal with NASCAR or something like that. And I just remember there were cars involved revving during the over the limit commercials.
See, that I don't remember whatsoever, although if it was sponsored by Castrol GTX, who, you know, Castrol deserves to go in the WWE Hall of Fame. because they have been with that company now, I think, since 1983. I don't know how long it's been exactly, but that actually, Castrol deserves to go into the WWE Hall of Fame.
If I'm incorrect about this, everybody, email me, but I could have sworn that used to be some sort of racing gimmick for Over the Limit. Anyway, that show is today, and my thoughts are, as I noted at the beginning of the show, that this show is going to do as good as or slightly better than your average B show. Some people think I'm completely out of my mind, and this show is going to absolutely tank because everybody hated the Big Show segment. Everybody hates John Laurinaitis. And I'm like, listen, people, they're supposed to hate John Laurinaitis. That's the hook. That's what makes people want to buy the show to see John Cena beat this man. What do you think? Is this going to do decent or better, or is it going to absolutely tank?
I think it'll just hover around where it's at, even if it does a little bit more. Again, I'll be really surprised if this thing actually is significantly more.
Oh, it won't be significantly. It's not going to touch the Brock Lesnar number. But I think it could be doing 10% above what your average B-show does.
Yeah, I'm thinking more like handful, to be honest with you. I really do. I just don't think the programming across. Again, they may watch that on Monday night for free. You know, like some of the stuff that TNA does, they might watch it on Monday for free, but I don't think it was going to be something that's really going to separate them from their money up and down that card as you look at it. You know, I don't think people are that invested into it where it's like, this is not going to be one you're going to drop 50 on. Not in what coming up into beach season and everything else that happens in the summertime.
Well, we'll talk more about this after our hourly break. Come back 7 minutes for more Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. We got so much stuff to talk about, including Strikeforce World Grand Prix Tournament coming up here in Hour 2. In the first hour, we previewed the Over the Limit pay-per-view from WWE, which is taking place moments after this show goes off the air. And in the last segment, we were talking about a potential buy rate for the show, Mike Sempervivi and I. And my thoughts on the buy rate are, and they remain, that the show is going to do as good as or slightly better than your average B-show pay-per-view. And to me, a good deal of that is going to be based on, get ready, the Big Show segment on Raw on Monday. I know that this is going to lead to a lot of debate, but let's wait and see. Let's wait for the buy rate to come out. I just know that when it was first announced that John Cena was going to be facing John Laurinaitis in the main event of the show, I thought, this show is going to die a death. Then, I actually argued, incorrectly, I will admit, with Todd Martin, that John Cena versus Lord Tensai would have been a better match. I was wrong. I also thought that they were going to add Lord Tensai to the match, and it would be Cena versus Laurinaitis and Tensai, which they did not do. Now, after watching the television, and after watching the angles, and after watching John Laurinaitis' performance as the diabolical GM of both Raw and SmackDown, I honest to God think that the masses are going to pay to see John Cena punch this man in the face and send him packing out of WWE. Which, by the way, isn't going to happen. But I do have faith that their casual audience is going to be interested in seeing this happen, and the show is going to do all right.
I just disagree. So too soon after WrestleMania again, but it's not like people are being loose with their money right now for something like this. I don't think it baited more than a handful in that wouldn't normally order it. I'll just be very surprised, although when we look back, I don't know what else we're going to be able to point to on this show unless, again, with nothing else being announced about Triple H or Lesnar or anything else, you know, that's going to be the thing. If it does pop, that'll be the reason why.
It'll be funny to see Cena losing to Lesnar, or beating Lesnar and losing to Laurinaitis, which could happen today. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here for the next hour, talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts as we lead into the WWE Over the Limit pay-per-view. A lot of stuff to talk about today. Last night was the Strikeforce World Grand Prix Heavyweight Tournament Finals. Tournament started a long time ago, and it has had many twists and turns. And in the end, the winner was one Daniel Cormier, who beat Josh Barnett in what was a very exciting main event last night on Showtime. He destroyed Josh Barnett. I had it 50-45. If you wanted to give it 49-46, you could. But the only round that Josh Barnett conceivably could have won was the final round, and that was largely because Daniel Cormier knew he won, and he ran away for most of the round. Still got the decision, a very deserving decision. Both men broke their hands in the first round. It was a war. Two big heavyweight bulls going at it for five rounds. I thought the fight was great. Daniel Cormier is a beast. Mike, what are your thoughts on that fight?
That was a really fun fight, and I couldn't even give Barnett the last round just because I counted up for Cormier more of ring generalship than anything, even though he was doing a little bit of running. It's not like Barnett was able to throw the kitchen sink at him because, well, he just got beaten with the kitchen sink all night. For those who didn't see it, Daniel Cormier beat Josh Barnett and just beat him relentlessly. Barnett was throwing with him in the first round. And, you know, with Barnett's reach, which was like 7 inches, and obviously Cormier being known more for his wrestling, Barnett, they were trading great, and he was able to, he ate a couple of Cormier's punches early where it was like, okay, he just landed a three-punch combo on his chin, and Barnett's not backing down. But as it went along a little bit more and a little bit more, it came to the realization that Barnett couldn't stop Cormier's hands. He was just too fast. He was changing levels. And he was connecting in these combinations, which ground Barnett's face into hamburger meat relatively quickly. And it shows you the type of chin that Barnett has and how tough he actually is, because any other man probably would have faltered in that. And it just was such an impressive performance by Cormier. I think it was in the second or third round. The slam, this Rampage Jackson-esque slam, where he dove in for a single leg and then picked Barnett up and flipped him over and slammed him on his back, was one of the most impressive-looking things you'll ever see. And even if you didn't see it, don't worry, because it's probably going to be a part of every highlight package from now to eternity.
So not two small dudes throwing each other around. This was a big dude hoisting up a 252-pound man. And it's actually like a high crotch, I guess you'd call it. It was similar to pro wrestling fans, the old Shawn Michaels teardrop suplex, I think they called it. But he got underneath him and then full flip land on his back. It's like a body slam. It was awesome. And just beat the heck out of this poor guy. And Josh Barnett walked his way through this tournament is the funny thing. And Cormier just took him apart. Absolutely took him apart. And very impressive performance. So Cormier is now your new Strikeforce Grand Prix Heavyweight Champion. He's going to have one more Strikeforce fight. I don't even know who he will fight. There's slim pickings there in heavyweight division as they're abolishing it. And then after that, it's on to UFC. And I don't know if I can just come flat out and say he's going to become the UFC Heavyweight Champion, but he's going to do pretty darn well in that heavyweight division.
Well, yeah. Yeah, one thing, who would you love to see him in there with after that exchange of punches like that? Well, healthy Cain Velasquez, both AKA, which will have to change. And you know, the UFC's options, when it comes to big fights you can put together, hopefully somebody stands aside in that exchange and we get to see that. But I was a proponent of Strikeforce. I was a proponent of, if you weren't, if you're going to be so dead set on having women, which, you know, I'm a fan of women's MMA, you know, and yeah, okay, you don't have enough people to make a division or blah, 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 but I think it's always been a waste, just the same way the WEC was in a way a waste of, you should be putting some of these fights on to supplement pay-per-views or on network shows or something like that. And I think, you know, obviously they've got to deal with Showtime that they can't get out. They're going to have to run Strikeforce shows, but I think as soon as that can possibly end, that they go ahead and just merge everything together, because they could use a lot of those guys in UFC. And I'm not saying Cormier is going to go in there and just beast over everybody, or Gilbert Melendez is going to do the same thing at 155 or anything else, but they need the ability to have some of these fights put on their shows, because last night was a damn good Strikeforce show, and unfortunately, you know, I'm not going to say nobody saw it, but probably few people saw it, although they did get lucky with Amir Khan and Lamont Peterson's rematch of a controversial fight a couple months ago. Peterson ends up getting popped for, I can't remember what it was now, but went dirty during his test, so they didn't have to deal with that last night. But still, it's too bad because, you know, they announced Rousey in the crowd. She'd be great to see on the UFC show. And they have people like Sarah Kaufman and some of the, again, all of the women that they have. And, again, it's not tons, but still. And Cormier being a great example. These fights, and the Thompson Melendez fight, which I know we're going to get to, is fantastic. And can you imagine that being on the FX or on the Fox show last time around? And again, I was a proponent of Strikeforce, but it's probably time to just throw all this out the window, merge everything together, and bite the bullet when it comes to women's MMA, and just, you know, focus on them like Christy Martin used to do for boxing, and Leila Ali, and people like that. If they're going to be a draw, nobody cares about titles or anything like that. They just want to see a good match, and they should be doing that.
The Gilbert Melendez fight was awesome. It was part three, Gilbert Melendez, Josh Thompson. They split the first two fights. This was the rubber match. A lot of rumors that Thompson was injured, but he sure didn't fight like he was injured. They had a fight of the year, is what they had. Absolutely awesome. I scored it a draw. I gave the first round even. I gave the second two rounds to Melendez. I gave the final two rounds to Thompson. Doesn't really matter what your score is, to be honest. The fight was so close, you could give it to either guy or a draw. And again, I had to listen to the fans in San Jose, who actually are significantly smarter than fans pretty much anywhere else in the country. Maybe Vegas fans would be more intelligent. But point is, they just didn't get scoring. They thought they were at a pride show. They thought since Josh Thompson was winning the last two rounds, he should have taken the fight. I don't know what they were thinking. Anyway, they were very, very angry that Gilbert Melendez was given this decision. And it's not like we haven't seen this a million times. There's no wrong decision in a fight this close. It's just that close. And like I said, I scored it a draw. I had no problem if you gave it to Melendez. I had no problem if you gave it to Thompson. I had no problem if you gave it a draw. It's just what happens in close fights. And these fans, however, were not of that mindset. They were outraged. But regardless, all everybody was talking about after the show was, we must have a fourth fight. And all Gilbert Melendez after the fight would say is, there's not going to be a fourth fight. I'm done. Although he did say if his pay were doubled or tripled, he'd consider it. But he is done with Josh Thompson. Unfortunately, I think a fourth fight, as noted on Fox, for example, would be awesome. But most likely we're not going to get it. But thank God we got this one. This was a great fight.
Yeah, he could say that all he wants, but they will pay him more money, and they could just make him fight him if they really wanted to anyway. I had Melendez winning. I know if you went by pride standards, you know, Thompson won clearly. But realistically, I mean, yeah, the first round was up in the air, I guess. I did give it to Melendez, and I gave him the next two. Obviously, gave Thompson the last two, but again, doesn't hurt my feelings that Melendez won or anything like that. It may have been with the crowd, too. It's a little of that Rocky Apollo thing where it's they got into Thompson, you know, seeing history, seeing something special, all that sort of stuff, and they booed that way, you know, just because of that reason. Because, again, it's, you know, Melendez got booed far more at the end than I would have thought, although I'll boo him if he sticks to his guns and somehow refuses to get out of a fourth match with Thompson because, I don't know, would that be some sort of history? I know guys have fought each other for, you know, an hour and things like that. But when it comes to the total number of rounds fought between two guys, I wonder if they'll hold the record if they actually fight a fourth fight and go another five rounds.
It's possible. I don't know. I'm sure somebody can come up with an example of perhaps a series that has beaten that. But I should mention, by the way, that Cormier was a replacement for Alistair Overeem. He was not even one of the alternates. Shane Del Rosario and Chad Griggs were the alternates. And when Alistair Overeem pulled out, Daniel Cormier got the call, beat Antonio Silva, and then beat Barnett in the main event. Talk about this more after the break. Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We're here every Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific Time, 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 94, XM Radio, Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. We were talking the Strikeforce World Grand Prix Heavyweight Tournament, which was won by a man who was not even an alternate. Daniel Cormier replacing Alistair Overeem in the semifinals, beat Antonio Silva via knockout in the first round, and went on to beat Josh Barnett in the finals of the tournament. That's quite a tournament. Fedor Emelianenko was in the tournament. He was beaten in the first round.
That's how long ago the thing started. Fedor was still relevant.
Yep. If you remember back, everybody, the brackets had Fedor versus Bigfoot Silva, Alistair Overeem versus Fabricio Werdum, Arlovski versus Sergei Karatanov, and Josh Barnett versus Brett Rogers. And everybody was like, why aren't you putting Fedor and Overeem together? And the story was, well, you know, we'll put them, they'll get to round two. Instead, they done got beat. Fedor was beaten. Overeem pulled out. So, whole thing was kind of, I don't want to say it was a disaster, but what it could have been when it was conceived, everybody was talking about different possibilities. And in the end, Silva, Cormier in the semis, Josh Barnett and Karatanov in the semis, and then Cormier wasn't even in the whole thing at the beginning, beating Josh Barnett in the main event. Funny how things happen over the course of a year, but there you go. And it was a great final. It was a great final match, so we can be happy about that. And the show, last night's show, if you have not had a chance to check it out when it replays on Showtime, that's the one to check out. The main card was really good. Two quick finishes, an awesome semi-main title match, and a very good main event match. That's a show to see.
Yeah, Showtime kind of had some weird luck. You know, some of it bad when it came to tournaments. They did the same thing. They had the Super 6, 168-pound super middleweight boxing tournament that they had aired, and they were doing another one too, which... Yeah, they ended up being, you know, the right things kind of happened in the end, but it took a long and painful way to get there. And you know, look how it is for the UFC, just booking shows anyway. And you know, the era of tournaments and stuff like that. You know, obviously, I can harken back to the Pride days and started watching and things like that. And I've always been a fan of tournaments and wrestling and thing. But even like in pro wrestling now, when they don't mean anything, they've been bastardized. You know, too many variables at play. I don't want to see him anymore. Same thing when it comes to MMA. It's probably time for these things to be dead and gone. And you start wondering after Josh Barnett, who does have value to the UFC, with that said, as you know, Morrow said it again last night, you know, he has always maintained, he's always maintained every time I've interviewed him, that, you know, they lied. The UFC lied, the agency lied, this, that, and the other. I mean, those are still wounds between Dana White and Josh Barnett, and obviously some of the stuff that's been online, people have seen, like the commission hearing and things like that, where, you know, it may not be a lock that no matter what the heavy condition the heavyweight division is in for the UFC, that you see Josh Barnett in the UFC, where it just seems to be, you know, if they could put those differences aside, it could be a really good fit for them, if nothing else, for when Alistair Overeem comes back and you've technically still got him under contract, that you couldn't do a loser leaves the UFC match.
Question also is how long Barnett still wants to fight. This dude was fighting in the 90s, everybody, and still fighting today. He's in his mid-30s. It's been a long career, especially after last night, taking some beatings. And I'm sure he'd love to do Japanese pro wrestling, which I don't actually... It'd be easier on the body than last night's Cormier fight, but in general...
Oh. If he's working an Oki's thing, it's just as easy. I mean, look, Jerome LeBanner and things like that, I mean... But it's not like he does like high impact stuff over there. He's working for New Japan. He'd be doing a style which would benefit him greatly. And he's one of the guys where, with his training, with the fact that he can actually act a little bit, with the fact that he can do pro wrestling, he's got a mouth on him, all those things. As you said, if he doesn't want to continue on to fight, there's one of those guys that really doesn't have to.
Now, we got a lot of news to get into, and I don't want to waste any time because we got two big stories. The first is going back to professional wrestling. Impact is going live every Thursday starting in a couple of weeks. Live! And in theory, good idea. It'll be fresh. You don't have to worry about spoilers. With all that said, everybody expected the Ultimate Fighter going live to be a great idea too, and that's turned out to be kind of a disaster for a lot of different reasons. And this one as well... after thinking about it for a while, I'm not sure they're ready to go live every week. They do not currently go live to tape. They shoot a bunch of stuff. They go long. They have to edit it all together. Often they'll be editing out missed spots and such in matches. This is not like pay-per-view. There are commercial breaks. There are backstage segments. It's going to be a production nightmare for a while for the people in charge. And they're doing it over the course of the summer to see if they can bring ratings up, which, if that's the only reason they're doing that, to me, probably not the best idea, since there was a survey done among Impact fans, and it turns out that even though during live events the announcers repeatedly mentioned that this week's show was live, most fans had absolutely no idea when the show was live and when it was not. So I guess we'll wait and see. That's the easiest way to put it. We'll wait and see. Will this make any difference? Will this bring them back to the 1-1 rating? I don't know. What are your thoughts, Mike?
Well, I think, you know, the way they sweet and sound and the way they edit some things sometimes, I mean, that would be the only way it would be to me. And I don't know, I guess I watch for these things, or I guess I pay attention to them. That's a dead giveaway that the thing is taped. But yeah, I think the average person probably doesn't care. I don't know, they got 16 weeks of NFL football now on Thursdays coming in the fall, which I know is not, doesn't affect TNA. They're going to get that one seemingly, or 1-1, no matter what. But still, they're going to be running into that buzzsaw and all that hype and everything else that goes around it in the fall. I agree with you. Why not go live to tape? What does it hurt? And if everything runs on cue for, you know, a month or two, then go ahead and have the confidence to go ahead and go live. You're increasing costs by bringing guys in, flying them in more, whereas if you went live to tape, again, you still do two straight. But at least it's crushed down, it's compact, and again, would anybody really notice or care? Probably not. I don't have a whole lot of great confidence in this. I have more of it, you know, as far as it not affecting anything, as compared to a 3-hour Raw every Monday night, but I don't know. I have a little bit of renewed faith that, like you told, you know, said last week, you know, they had a good pay-per-view last weekend, which we haven't talked about at all. It was a good pay-per-view, and again, they made me care about Chris Abyss. I mean, they actually, which I thought was completely impossible. The show has gotten better. It is slowed down. It is, you know, a little more lucid in how it goes along. So, again, I've got a little bit of faith in TNA. With that said, I don't see if it's that much increased cost. And because of the risks that you mentioned, as far as edits and things like that, and why not just go live to tape? But who knows?
Yeah, to me, as a fan, I'm all right with them going live, because to me, a live show, there's a little bit more excitement into it. But that's just me. To your average fan, like I said, I don't think it makes any difference whatsoever. And I think the bigger issue is that it seems to me that their idea is we're going live to try to boost the numbers. And to me, going live is going to have little or no impact on the numbers whatsoever. To me, if you want to increase the numbers, you must have patience. The pay-per-view this week was very good. I really enjoyed Sacrifice. TV was not as good as it's been in the last few weeks, but there were still some very positive things on the television. As I've mentioned on some of our other shows here, the Big Show thing on Raw, I mean, I was in the minority in presuming that they were going to go somewhere with it. A lot of people have just given up on WWE going anywhere with any storylines. And a lot of storylines in WWE, you know, it's not a case of WWE changing their minds because word got out. I mean, that does happen. But often, Vince just changes his mind. He sees a guy, he sees a match, he sees an angle, and he decides to go another direction. And there's very little long-term planning. I often feel that with angles in WWE, there's not going to be a payoff. In TNA, of late, I am very confident there's going to be a payoff in all of their big angles. I am very confident there's going to be a payoff in the Joe Park Chris Abyss angle. I am very confident there's going to be a payoff in the AJ Styles Dixie Carter angle. I'm very confident there's going to be a payoff in the angle with Madison Rayne and her mystery boyfriend. I am confident that all of these things are going to have a payoff. And the problem is, I'm confident, but what about your average fan who's been watching Impact for years now? This person, I'm afraid, is not confident. And it is going to take months and months and months and months and months of programming to build up that confidence and build up that trust. And worse, they're not only dealing with having to overcome a lack of trust based on years of horrible booking on Impact, but they've got to overcome horrible booking on the major pro wrestling organization in this country, Raw and SmackDown and WWE. There's a lot of bad booking there, and they've got to overcome WWE killing fans' trust in the booking there. So this is not a battle that is going to be won with 3 weeks of live programming. This is a battle that's going to be won, if it's won at all, over the next year or two of good programming week after week and paying off storylines and living up to stipulations and that sort of thing. That's what it's going to take to turn this thing around, not 3 months of live programming when they haven't done any live-to-tape testing to see if they can even do this. We're going to talk more after the break. Observer Live, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We're here for the next half hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts for the latest news and information in pro wrestling and MMA, including live play-by-play of Over the Limit. Head to WrestlingObserver.com. Dave Meltzer is going to be running down the show match-by-match as it takes place. If you buy the show, you can follow along with him. If you decide not to get the show, you can head up there and get the results as they happen. Of course, we'll be doing a live radio show or a brand new radio show later on this evening up at WrestlingObserver.com. If you love this program, check it out. You are missing out if you're not a subscriber to WrestlingObserver.com. Daily news updates, daily radio shows, sometimes several per day. I did 4 radio shows this past Thursday. Head over to WrestlingObserver.com, scroll down the right-hand side of the page, a listing of our latest 4 free radio shows. Check them out! And if you like what you hear, consider signing up. You will not regret it. There is more radio than you could even know what to do with. It's $10.99 per month. Sign up for a month, and if you don't like it, you never have to sign up again. But in that 1 month, you can download tens of thousands of hours of audio, if you're capable of doing so. I don't think actually anybody is, but if you could, you could. So check it out, and if you sign up, not only do you get those archives, but every day, brand new radio. If you love this program, I guarantee you love a subscription. Or a loved one, mind you, would love a subscription to WrestlingObserver.com. So check it out. Mike, we were talking about TNA going live. Any final thoughts on that before we move to the big Raw news?
Yeah, all the stuff you said about TNA, about having to rebuild faith and do all that sort of stuff. I think that's what a lot of people think about WWE. You know, the hotshot of Big Show, okay, great, but really it's continuing on with making storylines that make sense, so more than, you know, you get more than a 3.0 rating. You know, I think a lot of people, you know, Money in the Bank was Money in the Bank. It was what it was as far as the number they came out of it, but I know a lot of people were shooting to the moon in that, and I thought I was tempered in it by saying, you know what, it may not, because there's a lot of people out there right now who they may have overheard this angle. They actually don't know what's going on because wrestling's not hot, and they don't care. So it takes time for people to get back into it, and I think that's one of the things, too, that, you know, to bring it full circle. I know Lance says it his way. Les Thatcher certainly has a way to get his point across and to speak his piece on it. But when it loops back around again, that's pretty much what they're saying about WWE. It's the exact same thing. It's rebuilding faith.
I'm actually distracted here for a moment.
Are the cats out?
No, I was looking at... we haven't talked about John Jones today, have we?
No, and I really hope it was not China in the car with him.
John Jones' Wikipedia page, I'm sure it's changed by the time... Well, it'll be changed in moments. But in his mixed martial arts record, right here it's got a loss, 16-2. Opponent, pole.
Well...
Method, TKO, DUI, stoppage. May 19th, round 5 a.m., it says, in the time. Binghamton, New York, notes, Jones was unable to drive away, resulting in a TKO win for pole. Yes, everyone, Johnny Bones Jones, who a few months ago, when doing interviews about being sponsored by UFC, talked about how, hey, you don't have to worry about me getting into an accident or getting a DUI or anything like that. I'm a fine, upstanding citizen. Well, 5 a.m. on Saturday morning, I guess it was, totaled his car, drove into a pole, arrested, given a DUI, might have been a DWI, one or the other. He was driving, he was under the influence, he was intoxicated, something. He was arrested, sent to jail, apparently not injured, based on the fact that they sent him to jail and not the hospital. His mother bailed him out, and his people have stated he will not be doing any interviews, shockingly. He's not going to be speaking on this situation. So there you go.
Is it this? Philippians 4:13 or whatever it is that he likes to quote. It's the 11th book in the New Testament. I know that. Maybe there's something in there where we're being at 5 o'clock in the morning and putting your beautiful Bentley into a pole. Maybe there's something in there about that. But, you know, I it's one of those things you shouldn't. It's probably being portrayed holier than thou if you're really not. Like, when Lance Storm comes out there and it talks about clean living, you know, that's good. Nothing's going to pop up. It's one of the reasons I thought that the WWE should utilize CM Punk a lot better for a lot longer, because you at least know he may be a douche, which may be the worst thing you can say about him out there to people, but he's not going to get you in trouble with something incredibly stupid and another black eye for your business. So this is...
Well, he's not going to in terms of drug or alcohol use, but he...
Well, yes, I mean...
He got in trouble a week ago for some tweets.
Yes, and he's done the tweeting thing and dropping an F-bomb, or not an F-bomb, but, you know, a gay slur, that, you know, and all that sort of stuff. Yeah, that can obviously happen, but when the wrestling business, and I meant more of the drug, alcohol, the steroids sort of thing that plagues them badly, they're the biggest black cloud over it. And, you know, this is what Rashad Evans was talking about or hinting at when he said, you know, he's not the man he puts up there. And, you know, it's okay. I'm not saying it's okay he got the DUI, but it's okay that, you know, hey, he made a mistake and all that stuff. But it's going to be probably cause a little bit more backlash against the guy, who people who don't like him for whatever reason and think he's holier than thou and all that. It obviously puts a big black eye on his presentation.
You know, the... going back to the news that I was distracted from by reading about his fight record, now listing him hitting a pole for the time being.
A pole on a pole match.
That's right. Raw is moving to 3 hours, as they say, permanently. Horrifying!
Well, they never stick to stipulations, so maybe this will be good. Hey, USA will be happy. They should be happy when it comes to ad revenue. But, you know, people always said a magic number for the history of the wrestling business, 90 minutes is about perfect to do a show. And back in the day, I mean, WCW, with all the talent they had, and they were a mess anyway, they couldn't pull it off. WWE, when they've done it, if it comes at choice times, it's fine. But when, if they're dragging for 2 hours, and that first hour always brings the rating down anyway... You know, at some point, USA won't be happy, and there's a million excuses you could come up with right now that in 6 months the WWE could have, or, well, we're going into summer, this, that, or they'll come up with reasons why, but, I mean, I don't see how this long run, if things were hot right now and clicking and popping, cool, I would understand it, especially from a TV point of view, but I just have a feeling with how everything's set up right now, it's going to do nothing but actually pull a little bit of a rating from USA. Not saying that WWE still shouldn't do it because of the money they're going to get from it. But with that said, I don't know if permanent actually does mean a long time, because, again, what's ever been permanent in the wrestling business? And frankly, what's really permanent in the TV business anymore either?
Well, before everybody freaks out, including myself, this is what I know about the whole situation so far. They are going to be doing 3 hours live every week for the time being. Now, what that means is to be determined. There is a good chance that the first hour will largely be a pre-show. They'll recap a bunch of angles from the week prior. Maybe they'll do fan voting for a match on the live show. Maybe they'll have a throwaway match. That appears to be the direction they are going at this point. I talked to somebody there who firmly believes that the show will not be 3 hours every Monday night by the time the year is out. And one of the things this person pointed out was that Raw does run occasionally on the West Coast. And the idea of doing a Monday night Raw show in Seattle or Portland or Los Angeles or wherever you're going in the Pacific time zone and starting at 4:30 p.m. on a workday is pretty much impossible. So that combined with the fact that this idea originally was a network idea. There would be a one-hour Raw pre-show on Monday nights on the WWE Network, and that would lead into the live Raw on the USA Network, with the belief being that the network is going to get kicked off this year, it could eventually move to the network. So permanently is a funny word, especially in wrestling. It's going to suck for a while. In fact, they may, for the first few weeks, kick it off as just legitimate three-hour Raws. Big angle at the start of the 8 o'clock hour, and then go for 3 hours. And then after a while, it becomes that pre-show, which, of course, after a while, nobody will watch. And who knows how it's going to go. But it's going to be a nightmare for, and I'm not just saying this selfishly. You know, when word came out the show was going to 3 hours, and granted, a different audience is going to contact me than is going to be watching every Monday night, but everybody that sent me emails or text messages or contacted me on Twitter, which I should note is at Brian Alvarez, everybody that contacted me was just appalled. And when I talked to people within WWE, to a person, appalled. Hated the idea of three-hour Raws every Monday night. The writing crew hates it because it's a nightmare. The wrestlers hate it because it's a nightmare because of what the writing crew has to go through and Vince McMahon going crazy. Nobody is looking at this, at least privately, as a positive. I know that some people have tweeted publicly that they think it's a great idea, and maybe they really think so. I didn't talk to everybody, obviously. But this is roundly... it's just... A lot of people not happy about this. And what does that say about pro wrestling, where the idea of more pro wrestling on Monday nights for the A show is looked at negatively?
If you want to put a spin on it, if they make it pretty much what they do with the pay-per-views, where it's a lot of preview show leading into, you know, there's packages and stuff like that leading into maybe a match, you know, towards the end of the hour, it could be a benefit in that people tune in and they do such a great job with those packages and stuff like that. Yeah, your hardcore Raw fan will watch it, but maybe you get a benefit of somebody wanting to hang on to the 9 o'clock hour because they did get sucked into something. But who knows? Again, it's not a good idea. It's a good one, I guess, financially. It'll be a good one, I think, for a little while for USA, but... Again, what's been popping? What's been when, you know, a really draw? Has it been anything that makes you want to sit there and see Raw for 3 hours? Again, for most people, you know, two is more than plenty. So, again, long term, who knows? I can't see it happening, and I feel bad for it. Do they still in Canada? Does the law or do they still have a pre-show? I mean, would there be a pre-show for this?
I don't know. I don't know what the deal is going to be there. I would like to ask you a question, however. I have heard a lot of people of late and over the years talk about how the perfect length of a wrestling television show is 90 minutes. And I'm not saying I disagree with this, but what an odd statement to make based on the fact that I can't even remember in the last two decades the last 90-minute wrestling show with which we have to judge the perfect length of a program.
You know why? Memphis, who had the longest running promotion for the longest time with the most people watching week after week after week? Memphis. And
well, actually, I think it'd
really
be Raw,
like,
but
I can handle 2 hours of a lot of things, and that's great and all that, and we romanticize the Attitude Era, but you know what? If Wally Yamaguchi didn't chop the PP and we didn't have Beaver Cleavage and you take that stuff out, even at the hottest point, 90 minutes, if you cut the fat, that would have kicked ass. Now, I know it's never going to happen or anything like that, but it allows you to streamline and, again, accentuate more your positives. And that's something Memphis, and again, it's a weird way to say it, but that's something they were able to do. And again, it just seems like a really good number. An hour to me is not enough. 2 hours, oftentimes, when it sucks, it's way too much.
Well, I would argue that, I'll argue this after the break. I actually have, I have a comeback for you, but I'm coming up to the break right here. So let me go to the break, and I'll hit it here when we come back. Wrestling Observer Live, everybody, here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here for the final segment of the show. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. And before the break, we were talking about the perfect length of a wrestling show. People often argue 90 minutes, but in the last couple of decades, I haven't seen a single 90-minute show to prove this point. And I would just like to throw out there that whenever people talk about how an hour is not long enough and 2 hours is too long, it's usually during a discussion of Raw and or Impact, but that's another story entirely. Vince Russo's gone, so the show is paced much better than it was in the past. I will just say this, that Raw isn't 2 hours. Raw is 135 minutes. If they cut that overrun out and they wrap the show up at exactly the top of the hour, maybe it wouldn't feel like it was too long. Often the overrun goes 20 minutes past the top of the second hour. That ain't a two-hour show!
Wrong. Because, you know, if something was hot at the end like they did with Austin back in the day, yeah, you could have that overrun be 20 minutes and no one would care. It's just, again, it's the fat in the middle. And no, it'll never happen because you lose money on the advertising revenue of, you know, the commercials. And that's what it really comes down to. So, again, we're talking about something that'll never happen because of that reason. But cut the fat out of it. If you cut a half hour of Raw every week, it would still probably be better.
All right, everybody, we are pretty much out of time, but guess what? In just a moment, WWE Over the Limit begins. Dave Meltzer is going to be doing live running play-by-play on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. If you get the show and want to follow along, head up there. If you don't get the show and you want the results, head up there. And while you're up there, sign up. $10.99. Once you do, you'll get tonight's brand new Wrestling Observer Radio with myself and Dave Meltzer running down all of the results of the show, talking about all the news, talking about Raw, talking about the weekend. That's coming up later on tonight. Plus tomorrow, another show after Raw. Shows every single day. If you only get to hear this show one time per week, you are missing out. So head up there and check it out, WrestlingObserver.com. I want to thank Mike, as always, for doing the show today. We're going to be back next week live from Las Vegas, I believe, unless something goes wrong. So check that out as well. Thanks, everybody, at Sports Byline, Sirius Satellite Radio. We'll talk to you again after a while, everybody. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.